It's here and now.
I'll turn it over to Robin Young, who will be our host for the evening.
Thank you, Dave.
A while back, we had the chance to sit down with leaders in the field of happinomics, the science and economics of finding happiness. The room at the Museum of Science was packed. The event was sponsored by Northeastern University's Effective Science Institute. The central question, can money make you happy? Today, we want to give you a taste of that evening. We'll hear from Harvard Business School's Michael Norton, who studied giving money away. But let's start with Harvard psychology professor Daniel Gilbert, author of Stumbling on Happiness, followed by Cornell economist Robert Frank.
The idea that money makes you happy, that each dollar buys you a fixed amount of happiness, that everybody gets the same amount from every dollar, is obviously wrong. But the idea that money is unrelated to happiness is also ridiculous. And all you have to do is go stand outside with no coat, no shoes, nowhere to go, and hungry, and in about 5 minutes you go, wow, money would make me happier, and you're right. Mm-hmm. So money is obviously related to happiness, but its relationship is intricate and interesting. It's not simple.
It's not so much how big your house is that governs how happy you are. It's what your house is like in some relevant local context. I was a Peace Corps volunteer long ago in rural Nepal. I lived in a two-room house. It had no electricity or running water. If any of you lived in a house like that here, you would be ashamed. You wouldn't want people to know where you live. If you had kids, they wouldn't want their friends to come over. They wouldn't want anyone to know. Never for a moment during the 2 years I lived in that house did I have any such feeling. It was always, in that context, a marvelous house.
Robert Frank went on to say that that's why consumer spending is like an arms race. We want what our neighbors have. But when we look to nature, heavily arming ourselves with things can have a downside. Take the heavily antlered elk on the cover of his book, The Darwin Economy.
If you didn't have antlers that big, you'd never win a fight. You'd never get a mate. But it's not a good thing for bull elk that they're so big. And the reason it's not is that when you're chased into a wooded area by wolves and you have a 4-foot rack of antlers that weigh 40 pounds on your head, you're not very maneuverable. You're going to be surrounded easily and killed in that situation. My claim in the book is that we confront situation after situation in which the incentives confronting actors in the marketplace mimic precisely the incentives that give rise to those kinds of wasteful arms races that we see among animals.
We'll hear more about them, and especially as they apply to consumers. But Michael Norton, so what brought you to your study of money and happiness and whether it makes you happy to have it or to give it? What brought you to this?
It's a strange thing to ask people how much money they make every year, ask all of you, and then ask you how happy you are, and look at the correlation between that, and not find out anything about what you do with the money. So the idea that if I gave all of you $100,000, you'd all be equally happy at the end of a year seems crazy to me. Some of you would save it all. Some of you would gamble it all. Some of you would give it all away. We wouldn't think at the end of a year all of those people would have had the same experience, but on their tax form, it would say, I got $100,000. So the first intuition that we had was, let's look not so much at whether money makes you happy as just a function of having money or not, but whether if you have some money, what you do with it probably impacts your happiness. And you can just quickly ask people, what do you do with your money? And then from that, you can try to say, okay, it looks like that thing seems to be more correlated with happiness. One of the first things we looked at was, in fact, that giving money away seems to make you happier than spending it on yourself. And that's a hard one to figure out because you'd think if you're maximizing your own stuff that you'd be better to buy a TV for yourself than other people. But it turns out that giving money away is correlated with how happy you are with your life. And we thought maybe those people are on to something. So people who give money away are happier. I wonder if we made more people give money away, if it would make them happier. And if you think about it, it's funny. We don't think that everyone is equally good at investing money. So we know that some people are better at investing money and getting money back than other people. And we say, let's copy them, right? Let's copy Warren Buffett because he seems to know what's going on. We thought, just let's do the same thing with happiness. If some people seem to have some way of spending their money that makes them happier, let's see if we make everybody do that, if it makes them happier as well. And you find out it often does.
And you gave them money.
Yeah, so we're not going to do that tonight, actually. So that's, sorry about that. That's a little disappointing. But yes, we've done experiments where we literally my co-author Liz Dunn calls it a money shower, which sounds more exciting than, that's not actually what we do, but imagine I gave you money today and said, you know what, by tomorrow evening, you've got to go spend it on somebody else. Or I said, you've got to go spend it on yourself. Which of those things seems to make people happier? It's the same exact amount of money, but you're using it in different ways, and we can quickly get a ranking. Really, across most people, most of the time, what are the things that make us happier? It turns out, if you think about your everyday life, it's very hard to be nice and helpful to other people because it's awkward. But if we make you be nice, and you can say, hey, weirdest thing, this weird dude over there gave me $20, I have to do something nice, it gives you a reason to be nice. The other person thinks it's a little bit weird. But what we found is that people instantly forget that it was part of an experiment, and they really enjoy the experience.
You know, over the last several decades, I keep reading, we're spending more, we're buying more than ever before. Are we not happier?
The United States as a whole has not grown more happy.
Again, Robert Frank.
I think what's been different about the last four decades from earlier periods in history is that the pattern of income growth has been much different from what it was. In the three decades just after World War II, income growth was quite uniform up and down the income ladder. Consumption was growing in balance across the income classes and so on. People were getting a little happier year by year, nothing dramatic, but we know from recent data in most countries when that happens, people gradually get happier. In the U.S. in the last four decades, we haven't seen that because virtually all of the income gains in the last four decades have gone to people at the top of the income ladder.
But I guess the question is, is the 1% happier?
The 1% has been spending more money because they have more money. That's not a moral indictment of them. But they've been spending on the kinds of things that have the property that when everybody buys the next $1 million worth of it, it doesn't seem to make much difference. So, for example, we read of a CEO in New York who staged a $10 million coming-of-age party for his daughter, held in the Rainbow Room atop Rockefeller Center. They had 50 Cent performed, and for the parents, they had Stevie Nicks come and perform. Aerosmith, they had a set from them, too. All the kids got an iPhone. Her 300 closest friends walked out with a $600 party bag. But what was he trying to do? He was trying to stage a special occasion for his daughter, and everybody who thinks about it for a moment knows that special is just an inescapably relative term. What's special? It's what stands out from what we're accustomed to. And as others spend more, the bar that defines special rises accordingly.
You ask the question, does money make us happy?
And we give the last word to Dan Gilbert.
And I think it's the wrong question. It's, can money make us happy? Because money doesn't just make us happy by itself. We have to do something with it. If money doesn't make you happy, you're not spending it right. There's simply no doubt about that. Money is the ability to do almost anything human beings can do. So if you say, you know, money doesn't make you happy, you're saying nothing a person can do would make them happy. Now you might think, well, wait a minute, there's lots of things that make people happy. You know, love makes you happy. You can't buy that. Money can buy you lots of time with people you love, rather than having to go out and labor and toil. If you're a rich person and you're not spending your money to create more time with people you love, rather, you're spending it to make less time with people you love, you are probably spending your money incorrectly.
Let's thank all of our authors, Dan Gilbert, Robert Frank, Michael Norton. Thank you so much.
And Harvard professor Dan Gilbert's book is Stumbling on Happiness. Cornell economist Robert Frank's is The Darwin Economy. Harvard associate professor Michael Norton is co-author of the upcoming book, Happy Money, The Science of Smarter Spending, written with Elizabeth Dunn. We spoke to them all last May at Boston Museum of Science, an event sponsored by Northeastern University's Effective Science Institute. We will link you up with everybody at hereandnow.org. Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI. I'm Robin Young. Please join us again, Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software. Find over 200 job openings at mathworks.com.
PRI, Public Radio International.
I'm Robin Young. Join us next time for the news and these stories Here and Now. A new study says police in some areas are called into schools for infractions as minors wearing the wrong shoes. We'll look again at the school-to-prison pipeline. Also, the Alabama Shakes, up for a Best New Artist Grammy. That's Public Radio's Daily Digest of News and Culture, Here and Now.